welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike.
I am really interested to hear what you have to say about this next article from JAMA. It talks about lipids, and we've talked about lipids over the years, but just by way of background, the management of risk factors for any disease that's not been experienced by that person before is called primary prevention. We do our best to prevent bad things from happening before the person ever has any symptoms. Patients without known cardiovascular disease are generally at much lower baseline risk of cardiovascular events than people with known cardiovascular disease. Not such a shocking thing. As such, the treatment approach to lowering lipids in this particular case will be based on the determination of global cardiovascular risk factors. Such as the absolute risk reduction with treatment for hypercholesterolemia. And that will usually be smaller, the benefit that is will be smaller than those who have established cardiovascular disease. Again, this idea of primary prevention. But for the purpose of risk reduction in patients without any known cardiovascular disease, the question is, for the purpose of lowering risk reduction in patients without any known cardiovascular disease, what is the benefit of lipid reduction? And obviously, manufacturers would have us believe that this is something that everybody should be on. But let's take a look specifically today at the elderly, people that have made it. They have no evidence of coronary artery disease. What is the benefits of lipid reduction? You have picked an article from JAMA Internal Medicine. It's an electronic one of these citations, so I'm not going to read it. It was published in 2017. It asks the clinical question, in patients older than 65 who do have elevated low-density lipoprotein levels but no cardiovascular disease, is it worth putting them on cholesterol-lowering medication to decrease either mortality or morbidity? Mark, randomized controlled trial, what did they find?
The title of this one was The Effect of Statin Treatment Versus Usual Care on Primary Cardiovascular Prevention Among Older Adults, the ALLHAT LLT Randomized Clinical Trial, hot off the presses. And this was an analysis of a trial that looked at primary prevention of cardiovascular disease using cholesterol lowering with a statin. All the patients were at least 65 years old. They all had an LDL between 120 and 189. And there were 2,867 of them. They all also had hypertension, but no baseline atherosclerotic disease. They were randomized to get either usual care or pravastatin 40 milligrams daily. Most of the patients in the usual care group did not get a statin. So this was kind of a pragmatic randomized trial. Over the 6 years of follow-up, all-cause mortality was not any different between the two treatment groups for the younger, I'm using air quotes, you can't see, 65 to 74-year-old group. Hazard ratio was 1.08, basically confidence interval included 1. It was actually almost, all-cause mortality was actually almost a little bit higher for patients who were 75 and older. The hazard ratio was 1.34. The p-value was 0.07. The confidence interval was 0.98 to 1.8. So it just missed being statistically significant, which is interesting. There was no difference in the rates of heart disease events or strokes. Analysis was by intention to treat. And essentially, the bottom line is, you know, this seems to suggest that if a patient makes it to 65 years of age without developing cardiovascular disease, starting them on a statin at that point is not effective. And in fact, it looks like there was even a trend, non-significant, toward harm in the patients over 75. I should note that the statin used was pravastatin 40 milligrams once a day.
Right. So this is worth talking about a little bit in the sense that this is not standard practice right now, at least in my world. I was just looking here on the resident's favorite source of information, which is up to date, and I won't say anything negative about up to date, but it may be up to date, but it's not evidence based. And it is recommending, unless there is some specific contraindication, that elderly patients will benefit and that they should be treated with statins. So the question is, how do we take this new information and how do we change practice or at least give patients the option of understanding that there are risks and, in this case, very few benefits, and that perhaps it's worth saving them an awful lot of money in co-payments if they don't take this particular drug?
Yeah, this is a really interesting study and, you know, potentially practice changing. I think what I'd like to see would be some of these trialists get together and do an individual patient data meta-analysis where they look at different age groups. And so if they could, you know, we have a bunch of existing trial data and we have people in those trials that were older than 65, if you could separate those out and do an, you know, IPD meta-analysis, that could really help confirm this finding. So, you know, this is certainly, like I said, potentially practice changing. We do know that in general, primary prevention, the number needed to treat for statins to lower cholesterol is much, much higher than for patients with known vascular disease. It's, you know, in the neighborhood of 30 or 40 to prevent an event. In known vascular disease, it is in the neighborhood of 150 to 200 for primary prevention. And so it's not terribly surprising that, and it's possible this study might have been underpowered. It was 2,800 patients for 6 years. It's possible that there is a subtle benefit that was missed, but all of the trends were in the other direction, actually. So I think that's doubtful.
And that's a pretty big group. While you're imagining new studies or sub-analyses or sub-meta-analyses, it also, I don't think it's crazy to hypothesize that perhaps there are gender differences and perhaps even racial differences. Perhaps, you know, black men or black women might be at higher or lower risk than other racial groups. So lots more information we need. We're spending an awful lot of time and energy and money convincing people to do something that may not be in their best interest.
I think you're right.
Excellent. We will talk with you again in a week.
All right. See you then.